the blood of the Lamb. I enter to worship you only. I enter to honor I am. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. To you, Lord, I give
Okay, Shabbat Shalom. Welcome to For Zion's Sake Ministries, Ari Yehuda, Messianic Jewish Congregation here in Bristol, Virginia. And we're here today to worship the Lord and to observe Shabbat. And if you're live streaming, we welcome you. And we welcome our visitors and our guests today. They've been here before, but we welcome everyone. So we will get started with the service this morning with Shabbat Shalom. And I'm not a good singer, so...
Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom,
hey,
Shabbat 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 Shalom. Israel, Yom say Israel, Lord Sestipah, Yom say Israel, Lord Sestipah, Ora Mituka, Shabbat Minuka, Yom say Israel, Lord Sestipah, Shabbat Minuka, Shabbat Minuka. This day for Israel, this day for Israel, this day for Israel, filled with light and joy, this day for Israel, filled with light and joy, filled with light and joy, Sabbath of his rest, this day for Israel, filled with light and joy, Sabbath of his rest, Sabbath of his rest.
Okay. Blessings of the Messiah. It should be up there. Brukatai Danai Elohim Yumelech HaOlam Asher Natan Lanu Derech HaYeshua Mashiach Yeshua Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's given us the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua. Amen. The house where you dwell, in the place where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation. Vishamru.
We do the acapella.
Oh, we have to. Okay. Vishamru Vene Israel Et Hashabat La Sod Et Hashabat Le Do Tambourine Do Lam Vishamru Vene Israel Let Hashabat La Sod Et Hashabat Le Do Tambourine Do Lam B'nai O B'nai B'nai Israel B'nai Israel Ohi Elolam Vishamru B'nai Israel Let Hashabat La Sod Et Hashabat Le Do Tambourine Do Lam Sheshed Amin Asa Adonai Asa Adonai Shemayim Viharet Vishamru B'nai Israel Let Hashabat La Sod Et Hashabat Le Do Tambourine Do Lam V'yoyam Hashavi Shavat Nina Fash Shavat Nina Fash Shavat Nina Fash Vishamru B'nai Israel Let Hashabat La Sod Et Hashabat Le Do Tambourine Do Lam. The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Pray for Jerusalem, let there be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, listen to Jerusalem. Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, let there be peace of yore. For God will bless them that love her.
Ask God's blessings upon Israel this morning in Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for the blessed day of Shabbat, Lord. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that tomorrow we will begin the worship and the entertaining in the Sukkah and during the Feast of Sukkot, Lord. We just ask this morning that you will bless your nation of Israel. Bless the Jewish people, Lord. And may the scales be taken from their eyes, Lord, that they will see that Yeshua was the Messiah that came thousands of years ago, Lord, and they will repent of their sins just like for Yom Kippur, Lord, that they will repent and turn to the Messiah, Lord. Turn to you, Lord. We pray for our Messianic community today, all the rabbis, the pastors, those who are involved in the worship, Lord. We pray this morning that they will have a great service. Anoint the rabbis, Lord, that their message will be anointed and be the words that you want your congregations to hear around the world, Lord. We ask that you bless us today, Lord. Bless our worship. Bless our music. Bless our sound system today, Lord. Bless Rabbi and Rebbitz and Bell, Lord, and bless them and bless us, the congregation. In Yeshua's name we pray. Okay, servant of the Lord. And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. For the Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod, Malhuto Leoam Vaed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and sitteth them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hands, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house, and upon your gates. Amen. William, you feel like getting the Torah out? Will you get the Torah out? Okay. Okay, we'll do the Torah procession.
We'll just stand up here and we'll process. Yeah, we will. We'll just have them stand up here.
Yeah, you can just stand up here. I hope you get it out. You can just stand here with them.
Say they lay, oh.
answer to that ancient question. Ain kamoka valim Adonai, valim kamasekha, malkukha, mamiko, olalamin, umishapika, bador, velvador. Adonai melek, Adonai melok, Adonai imlok leolam baed, Adonai os leomo retain, Adonai vereshek amo vashalom.
There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen. We can just go right into it. Yamud Asher ben Zedekiah, La Torah, Barku Adonai Hamvarah,
Baruch Adonai Hamvarah Vaed,
Baruch Adonai Hamvarah Leolam Vaed, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Nakabakana Biko Adamin, Netna Aten Lanu Et Torto, Baruch Atah Adonai, Notain Ma Torah, Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
And you can be seated. Okay, today's Torah portion is the last, it'll be the last parsha other than the Kol HaMoed Sukkot, which will be next Shabbat. But today concludes the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. And it's called Hazinu. And it's telling, God is speaking, give ear and to listen. This is called, today's Shabbat is called the Shabbat of Turning, because we've just come through the High Holy Days. And that is a time of either joy or remorse, depends on where your life is. But it's called this is called the Shabbat of turning, which is turning to God rather than turning away from God. You see, the heavens is the Torah, or the Word of God, and the earth represents His commandments. It also represents our actions while we live here upon the earth. Today, Moses is telling Israel to listen and hear the words of his mouth. It's almost as if he's between heaven and earth as he's speaking. It's the way his comments are. Hazenu is the second. It actually is a song. And the first song was the one that they sang when they crossed the Red Sea, leaving Egypt at the Exodus. There was a song there that was sung, and Miriam led the singers in that song. And today, Hazenu is really a song that Moses, through God, inspired, telling him what to write. It's a 70-stanza song that is Hazenu. And we see today, if you read the Torah portion, this is the first time in Deuteronomy 32, verse 6, that we see God is referred to as Father. He's referred to as Father for the first time here in Deuteronomy chapter 32. And we see faith comes by hearing, and hearing the words of the Lord. There are two ways to understand God. The first way is His Word, His Torah. And the second way is the world that He has created through His creation. You can see God in the creation. And we see today that, you know, this Torah today pictures the whole world as a whole. We see every day, every time we do the Torah, it pertains to something in the world. And today we see that if you listen, there's two ways to listen to things. You can listen to the world, and the world is a world of destruction. They'll tell you that the world is being destroyed by fossil fuels, by whatever. They've got whatever's out there, and the world is coming to an end, which is true, but man cannot destroy something that God has created. You can't destroy the earth. You can burn it, and you can throw it in the air, and it's still there. You can't destroy what God has created. And the second thing that you can listen to is Yeshua. If you listen to Yeshua, then you will have life everlasting. It's called Chaim Lanetzah, and it means life everlasting. You know, we just came from Yom Kippur, and as I said earlier, that could be, if you're a believer, that's the happiest day of the year, maybe in your life, is when your sins have already been forgiven. But if you're not a believer, then it's not a very good day, because it tells us about the judgment of God, that there's a judgment day. And whether you're a believer or not, we all will stand in judgment before God. Everybody will stand that judgment. Because I teach the Torah, I'm going to stand a different judgment. Because I will have to stand a judgment of what I've instructed or taught that is pertaining to God's Word. It's an awesome task to realize, you know, what you tell people can lead them astray. So I want to make sure that I stay within the boundaries of the Torah, or within the fence work of the Torah, and not get off into something that's not what God wants or what God desires. So I stay close to hearing what He wants me to teach about. You see, this parashah today is about the inroads of Israel. It tells us about the past, the present, and the future that Israel is going to be going through. It began actually in creation, where God hovers over His creation like an eagle that hovers over her brood of baby eaglets. I'm not sure what they're called. I'm going to say eaglets. But she hovers over them. It's a swarming type of a hover. She hovers over them. And it began with creation. And we see through the Torah that God has chosen Israel. The land of Israel is God's portion. He says, "Do not part my land. It's holy unto me." And it's also, He chose the Jewish people because Abraham sought the true living God. He knew they had to be one God that created all of the universe rather than the thousands that they worshiped. So the Jewish people became the chosen people, and they were chosen because to carry God's Word. That is the light to the Gentiles, is the Word of God. That was the purpose, or the main thing that the Jewish people were to do. They were to bring the Word of God forward, and that has happened. because we have it today with the Torah scroll, and we have it printed, we have it on cell phones. It's everywhere you can get God's word. It's on billboards. So the Israelites, that was their mission in life, their mantra, if you want to call it, was carrying the light of God's word. And when you carry the light of God's word, that is Yeshua. He is the light of the world. It's like, you know, the word of God is like if you're out in the woods and you've got a lantern, that lantern shines a light that helps you not fall into a hole or not walk off a cliff. It protects you from danger. It guides your way. And so is the light of the word. It will be a light unto your path, and it will teach you to stay within the safe zone of God's Torah. That's like the lambs. All the years I've traveled, I've never seen a lamb dead on the side of the highway. You'll see dogs and cats and all kinds of animals, but I've never seen a lamb laying on the side of the road where it's got out of its safe zone. And that's where the Torah is at. In biblical times, the shepherd would lay, he would fix a rough fence-like structure of wee twigs or whatever, and he would lay in the gate, and the sheep would never go out because the shepherd was in the gate. And so is the word of God. His shepherd Yeshua is in the gate. So as long as you stay within the confines of the gate, you won't wander out. And that's why you don't see sheep dead along the highway. They will not wander far away from the shepherd. They understand and they hear his voice. So that's God's word. So God keeps an eagle over everything in Israel. He covers them with a pillar of fire and with a cloud over top of them to keep them from the heat. He feeds them from a rock with water, and he feeds them with manna. He feeds them with quail. You see, when we blow the shofar on Yom Teruah, it tells us of the beauty, but also tells us about sin. If you've ever stood on the end of one of these things, you know what I mean about the sin, because it has a very unpleasant smell when it comes out when it's blown. So I try to stay on the narrow end. So it's just like our life. It's narrow on the one end. We're confined on one end, and then it opens up on the other end. And so the shofar, when it's blown, signifies the kingship of the Heavenly Father. That's why we blow it so many times on Yom Kippur and recite the verses about the kingship of the Heavenly Father, that he is king and will always be king. You see, the scriptures tells us, from my confinement I called upon the Lord. And confinement doesn't always mean sins, but our existence can confine us. It separates us from God. And if we feel this way, then we are moving from God and not recognizing him as king of our life. He must be king of our life. And just to close the Torah this morning, our confinement, we can call upon the Lord, and when we do, he will bring the enlargement of his kingdom into our hearts. He will come into our hearts. He is king within the world, and he is king of above. He is king of all. He is our rock and our salvation. Evil alienates us from God, and we must be aware that time is short. The days are very evil. I know I've lived quite a few years, and I don't think I've seen a more evil time than right now in the world. And you can definitely tell the world is splitting, because there's no gray areas anymore. You can look at politics. You can look at social things upon us now. And it's a clear division. There's no in between. You can tell the right from the left. You can tell evil from good. So the days of evil are increasing, but a day of reckoning is coming. And what we truly value on that day will be exposed. Our mask, our facade, will be removed from us, in the truth of who you worshiped and what you believed in are going to be made manifest on that day. We will give an account of our life, of what we said and what we did and what we heard and how we acted. God will make us accountable for that. Deuteronomy 32, just to close with verse 47, it says, by his word you shall live and not die. Shabbat shalom.
I'll rise for the closing of the Torah.
V'etzot ha-Torah asher shamoshe lifnei b'nei Israel al pi Adonai b'yad Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hands.
It's evening, mercy keepa, it's okekar, merusha, derakeha, derakeham, ekotimoteha, shalom, ashibenu, adonai. Kadesh, Kadesh Amenu, Kadesh Amenu Kekedim.
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her,
and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace.
Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Okay, you all can be seated. And we'll just, we're going to take up the morning's tithes and offerings. We've got two baskets in a box. The colored basket is for help the needy if you have some spare change. And the other basket on the other end is for our building fund. And then the middle box, the big box with the lid, is for tithes and offerings. And so we'll give you a chance to participate in that part of the service. Just want to make a couple announcements before we pray over the offering. We will have a Sukkot service tomorrow night at 6:30, and we invite everyone to come. If you're live streaming, you're welcome to come. If you're close enough to be able to drive over here, we're going to have a service, and then there's going to be some activities after the service. There'll be some food and I believe a bonfire.
Yep.
That's going to take place after the service. So it's a week-long time to be with God in a sukkah. And so it's a great time. It's the end of the feast up until we get to Hanukkah, which, of course, is in the New Testament, not in the prior cutting of the Torah. So that's always a great time, too. But this week and tomorrow we will start the feast, the appointed time of Sukkot. It's the third foot pilgrimage that is mentioned in the scriptures that we are to attend, which is the feast of Sukkot.
And the last night of Sukkot will be also celebrating here, and that's October 20th at 6:30. There'll be light refreshments following that service, so that we'll be closing the sukkah on that day. Yep. Again, October 20th.
So we got two Sundays in a row.
Yes, here. Two Sundays in a row. So October 13th, tomorrow, it's 6:30 here, and October 20th.
So. Okay, so everyone's invited to come. Okay, we're going to pray over the offering, and then you can bring it, and then we'll do the worship this morning. They've got, looks like, quite an array of worship songs, which will be great.
We're hoping for more dancers. I mean, come, dance. Okay. Otherwise, we have
got
to be up
more
here.
Ladies out there this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the offering that's being brought today, Lord. We ask you to bless the gifts, bless the people that bring them, Lord. Give them a good measure, pressed down, shaken together. And may our cups run over, Heavenly Father, as we bring our tithes and offerings to your storehouse this morning. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Father, our King, Lord, we delight in your Shabbat. We enter your rest and your praises we sing.
Lord, we delight in your Shabbat.
We delight.
There for a minute, Carol. I just wanted to mention that we need to pray as a congregation together. As you see, we're pretty light here. We just need to continue to pray for our rabbi, and we do expect him back. He's coming back today in the area, so he just couldn't make service today. So I just feel really led to just pray for him, as well as his son, Isaac. We're really short in media as well. And his son Isaac he's really sick, bad. So we're just really being attacked. So we just need to pray against this in the name of Yeshua, and we just need to press through. And we just thank you all for getting a little ringy dingy here. Thank you all for coming, and thank you all for watching. We love you. Continue to just pray for our ministry and our congregation, because this is the local ministry. Your connection to Israel. Rabbi is always under attack, and we love him dearly. We intercess for him constantly, and just right now, I just felt just to mention that. I love my rabbi, and he means a lot to me. That's why I'm here with Anthony, and we're all being attacked all the time, but we got to press through, because we have to be the light to other people that don't know who Yeshua is, and we know who he is. He's the key. He's the answer to all of our problems, to all everything. And we need to find a way to reach everyone out there in the surrounding neighborhood, as well as just, you know, this place should be just completely beaming packed full of people, because they know who their Messiah is, the Savior. This is the Ark. And Rabbi's right. He said this not long ago, Rabbi and Ribbitson Dawn. We don't know how long any of us are ever going to be here. We don't know what our expiration date is, but we know that we have our Lord. We know who he is. We know what he's done for him, for us, and we thank him for that every day. And we just came through a Day of Atonement, and that's a solemn time. And now we're here to rejoice, and God moved on me last night to pick the songs for today for worship. And thank you, Maria. Thank you, Lord. I'm glad I just waited and paused. We got another dancer, so now we can dance if you feel like dancing, and just or walk around if we just want to just walk together as a congregation. Walk, no dance steps that might scare people. It's dancing is for the Lord. We do this for Yeshua. And we feel his presence, right, Miss Deborah? We feel it when we're in the dance circle. We're dancing on scorpions' heads. We got to come together as a unit, as a community, as a congregation, as a family, and just really fight the good fight. And this world is not getting any easier, is it? It's harder financially. But I think each and every one of you, you're led here today, and I'm glad to see you here, and I thank you for that. Thank you for coming so far. People drive hours to get here, 45 minutes, constantly. We're always doing something, but we meet here because this is God's Shabbat, and that song today was led on my heart. We delight in your Shabbat, and we delight in it. We got to find the joy in the mess, and I know there's peace in chaos because we have him. If we don't have Yeshua, we won't have that light. It will be in the dark all the time. So I love you all. Thank you all for being online. Just thank you, Lord. And let's just come into worship. Let's feel. Rabbi, oh, I love you. You're here. I'm so moved by you guys.
Huh?
I love you guys. I just felt led to just pray for you. And hallelujah. Just really feeling it. Hallelujah. Everyone watching, our rabbi and Miss Donna are here, and we just love them for coming in, and thank you all. Hallelujah. We just worship the Lord today. We just really feel him. Go ahead, Carol.
Chag HaSukkot Haze Zeman Simchatenu. This is the time of our rejoicing. Zeman Simchatenu. This is the time of our rejoicing. Zeman Simchatenu. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu, Melech HaOlam, Shehegianu, V'kiyamanu, V'higianu, Lazman Hazeh. Hallelujah, Sukkot has come, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Sukkot has come, Hallelujah, this is the time. Zaman Simchatenu, this is the time of our rejoicing. Zaman Simchatenu, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu, Melech HaOlam, Shehegianu, V'kiyamanu, V'higianu, Lazman Hazeh. Hallelujah, Sukkot has come.
This is the time of our rejoicing. So my sympathy.
Thank you. lifting holy hands and worship. No, we will not bow down to the gods of man. We will worship the God of Israel. You are holy, holy. There is no one else like you. You are holy, holy. There is no one else like you.
Holy, holy,
Okay, that was a great time there. Okay, we're going to go on in the service and do the Shalkin' Our Nine, which is the table of the Lord. And can I ask Maria and Deborah, y'all service this morning? Appreciate that. Song sort of set the tone for the table because it says, who will you choose this day? And I think if you haven't chosen Yeshua, that it's a time to think about that and try to understand where will you spend eternity. If you were to die today, where would you spend the rest of your life? Because whether you know it or not, death is not the end. It's the beginning. And you're going to live somewhere in eternity forever, whether it's heaven or hell. So you've got to make the decision. It's a choice you've got to make, just like God says. Are you going to choose life or death, good or evil? So we have to make that decision. And if you haven't, then I urge you to say that simple prayer. Just ask him to come into your life, cover you with his blood, forgive you your sins, and write your name in his book of life. It's a caption of Yom Kippur. Same thing, getting your name in the book of life. That's what it's about. The Sefer Chaim, the book of life. So on the Passover that Yeshua observed, which was it changed, you know, the way we look at it, because he was the Passover lamb, and he took the bread and he broke, and he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. It's broken for your healings, and it's broken for the things that you need in your life. And he took it and he blessed it. And we'll pray it this morning. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and that is Yeshua. He took the cup, and he said, this represents the cup of my blood. That's the covering. The redemption is the blood that covers. And he took it and he blessed it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pori hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine, and Yeshua is the true vine. So we would invite you to come this morning, and these ladies will serve you, and come as you're ready.
With all creation I sing praise to thee.
going to give the message today. It's a little odd being the rabbis here. But he got me up at 4:30 this morning, you know. I mean, what do you say? I was a light sleeper anyway, but I did rewrite the Torah this morning, or this portion here of this message while I got up this morning. But I think that's why he woke me up. I heard the phone. I'm thinking, what is that? It didn't sound like a shofar, so I figured y'all were on your way at that time of morning. Well, you had been up all night, you know.
Shalom, everybody.
Shalom.
Shabbat shalom. It's great to be back with you, and it's great to be here. We got up at 3 o'clock this morning in Jacksonville, Florida, and we were out the door at 4. We had a 6 o'clock flight. Had to get to the airport, return a rental car, got on a 6 o'clock flight, and went to Atlanta, and then we rushed through Atlanta Airport, had to get reticketed to get to Tri-Cities. Dawn, because she's a pilot, gets us, we get special tickets. Anyway, and because she's a captain, we get really good seats now. They always put us in Comfort Plus. So there's a lot of perks to having a wife who's a captain. My dad was a captain in World War II, and he was a captain in the U.S. Army Air Corps. He fought Rommel before the Air Force, and his men called him Captain Bell. He ended the war as a major, but he was Captain Bell, and he'd be very proud of my wife because she's now Captain Bell, and she's the next Captain Bell. And he loved her dearly. He did. He adored Dawn. He died in 2003. But we're blessed to be here. We got back so early that we said, you know, we got to town. Now my son Isaac has mono, and he's home. So we had to go home and check on things. And animals needed some loving and some food. And we said, well, let's go over to service and see. And, you know, let's pop in and see what's going on. So here we are. It's nice to see everybody. And we did travel the furthest to get here today. So we get the prize for that, whatever that is. So, Lord bless Anthony as he speaks, and I'm going to enjoy the message.
Thank you. Okay, thanks.
Oh, let me just say one last thing. For those who don't know, I went down there to Jacksonville for... I've been fighting leukemia, a form of leukemia, for 8 years, 9 years. And just got sick of not getting help up here. So I went to the Mayo Clinic. And it's interesting that the Mayo Clinic says, when you can't find answers anywhere else, they have a saying, in the airport they have like an ad on the wall. It says, when you can't find answers anywhere else, come to the Mayo Clinic. And I prayed for a year, and I believe God sent me there. I asked the Lord to send me to someone who could help me. And I actually came up with the treatment two years ago and told the two doctors I have, one in North Carolina at a big university and one here, what the treatment that I'd like. I thought maybe, well, what about this treatment, I said, you know? And they said, no, we don't do that. And I thought, okay. And then so I went down there and took all these tests and spent all this money at the Mayo Clinic. And he says, we're going to treat you with this. That's the same thing that I said 2 years ago. It's an immunotherapy. And it took me 2 years and going to the Mayo Clinic and praying and to get help, get what I needed. And I still haven't gotten it yet, but I'm believing it's going to work. But we had a great... It was an awesome experience, and we could see God in it. And there's more to say, but I'm going to let Anthony speak. But thank you. It's good to be here with you all today. Love you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, this is sort of a little recap, I guess you can call it, of Yom Kippur. just to visit back, because it's important, because it's speaking about the day of judgment and the day of getting your name. Well, actually, the day of redemption, when you get your name into the book of life. And I've just got just a little bit to set us up for Sukkot, which will be tomorrow evening at 6:30 right here. So we already announced it. You know, Yom Kippur, I think I said this earlier, it is the holiest day of the year, but it's also the happiest day of the year because of the fact that your name is in the book of life. You know, and it's not a hard task to get your name in there, but it's certainly one that everyone should do at some point in their life when the Holy Spirit touches them and convicts them in your heart. It's hard to drag someone to redemption. It has to be, the Spirit has to woo them, and they realize that they are lost. Until you know you're lost, you'll still walk down that same path until you realize the day, I'm lost, and I've got to find my way back. That's like the lantern in the forest. It guides you. God's Word will guide you and keep you from harm, just like a lantern in the forest. It'll keep you from walking off a cliff or walking into a hole. And so, but on Yom Kippur, you know, we blow the shofar, and it's actually the voice of God, really. And Satan certainly doesn't like to hear the sound of the shofar. It drives him nuts, if that's possible. It's a shrill sound. It's a sound of life. It's just like a newborn baby when the first cry that it makes, that's the sound of the shofar. To me, it's sounding life, not death. Even though it is used to sound an alarm. That's what it's about. But that alarm is life, like the newborn baby when the first shrill cry that a baby makes. Hopefully they haven't, I guess they got away from smacking them on the backside. I don't know how that all happens. But it's the sound to me of life. And it's a secret. Yom Kippur is a secret of life. It's the secret of life after death, which is the resurrection. There is a resurrection coming, and the dead are coming back from life. And those who are alive will be ushered into that judgment. You see, it tells us that we are a new creature because it is a new birth that we are experiencing because our names are inscribed in the book of life. It's a little different to me to write it than to inscribe it. It's like it's taken with care that it's inscribed. It means it's a deeper, to me, it's a deeper imprint into that page of that book. It's not just scribbled across where you can have taken an eraser and wiped out. It's written down in there. It's imprinted. It's inscribed. And it tells us that the best is yet to come in our lives. You know, this isn't the best. It's sort of, there's more to life than this. And the best is still in front of us. A lot of us try to live in the past, but Well, looking backward, I knew I used to run track, and the coach always said, don't look back to see who's behind you because you're going to trip and fall down. And boy, did I do that a couple of times. And those cinders just eat you up. In those old track fields, they used to put cinders down. And if you want a strawberry, you can get a real nice one that way. But he said, always look ahead. Don't look backwards. And that's the way we should live our lives. We can't change what has happened. It's already done. All we can do can't change what has happened. So the future, God and Yeshua is in the future. They're not in the past. They may have been there, but they're in front of us. Our best is yet to come. And of course, Yom Kippur is the day of the Lord. It's the day of God. And it's the days of awe. You know, the days of awe are more than just repentance of sin, but it's a day, it's a 10 days of returning to God. For we are no longer alienated from him. Sin separates us from God. But we have to appear before him. And when we appear before him in heaven, you will appear with a glorified body, which means there will be no sin because he can't view sin. You know, with Yom Kippur and the Torah, we see, you know, the two sons of Aaron, they were dedicating the tabernacle. And Nadab and Abihu went into the Holy of Holies, and God struck them dead. They were consumed from the inside out. Their clothes were not burned, and they were intact. In other words, the appearance of God consumed them completely because they took strange fire. Now, maybe they wanted to get in closer to God. I think that's my thought. Maybe they were just trying to get closer to God, and they thought they would just go in and take an offering to Him. But that wasn't God's. God has a set plan to do things, and that wasn't the correct and proper way to approach God at that time. And so God told Moses, He says, only one time a year can the high priest come before me in the Holy of Holies. And so we see there God established that one time. And that's just like redemption. It should be a one-time prayer that you pray, and then you live your life for God the rest of the way. You don't go back. You stay within the confines of the Torah. It's a fence that can bind you. God's Word can embrace you and fix you just like a fence where you won't wander out. You may want to go out, but if you go to the fence, as long as you stay in, you'll be safe and secure, and you will go to heaven. And there you'll live for all ages, for eternity. And I don't know how long eternity is, but it's forever, I guess. It's forever and ever. You see, sacrifice has always been the center of the Jewish life, and also in the Torah. It's the center of the Torah. It's taught God always, even since before time began, He always, it says, He requires the blood of the innocent for the guilty. And when you took a sacrifice to the altar, you had to say your sins and place them on the head of the lamb or the goat. So you had to publicly confess, just like we do today. You have to make a public confession that you're going to follow God's Son. So they had to publicly announce the sins that they had committed, and they had to transfer those sins to that, let's say, lamb that was being sacrificed. And then the lamb was sacrificed, and the blood was taken. You know, God always has to have something innocent must die for the guilty. So Yeshua, who was innocent, died for our guiltiness. You know, there's several types of sacrifice. I just mentioned them here briefly. The first one that you'll see in the scriptures is the olah, which is the burnt offering. And it's just like your life is the sacrifice, because Yeshua has saved us. And with the burnt offering, everything was consumed with the fire as it rose up. And then we have the minka offering, which was an offering of flour and meal. And all of these offerings actually are shadows of Yeshua and the things that He did, because the flour and meal would also be sacrificed there on the altar. It would be a flour and meal offering, and they would put some type of some type of a perfume or something would be put to it because of the sweetness and the fragrance of it. And then we have the shalim, which is a peace offering. It was an offering of thanksgiving to God. And these first three type of offerings or sacrifices were voluntary. They wasn't like mandatory in the scriptures that you had to do a peace offering. And then we have the sin offering, which is the offering of the sorrow of our errors. The hatat is the type of sin that, or the type of offering that it is. And then we see there that it's where we have made misjudgment on our part and have committed sins. The asham, which is right out of Yom Kippur, ashamru, that it tells us about our trespasses that we have. We are dead in our trespasses, and we are dead in our sins. And with the asham, all God requires a price to be paid, which is one-fifth value would be added to that sacrifice. You had to pay a price for the sacrifice of the asham, which is the trespass. You see, blood, just like when Cain slew Abel, his blood cried out. And just with the sacrifice, like the sacrifice of the lamb, when it was being sacrificed, it would cry out. And so we see just with the Garden of Eden, just outside the Garden of Eden, we see where Cain's blood cried out to God. And God heard that, because he questioned Abel where his brother was. Of course, God already knew that he had slain his brother in jealousy, because he had brought an offering from the field, whereas Cain had brought an offering of a lamb. I'm going to say a lamb. He brought an offering of an animal that shed its blood. And so God was pleased with his offering, but he wasn't pleased with his brother's. And so jealousy crept into his brother, and he killed. That was the first murder in the scriptures, was when a brother killed a brother. In Hebrews 10:4-6, it tells us the blood of goats and bulls will not take away your sins. They were just a picture, a shadow of what Yeshua was, of what he did, of what he would do and what he did. Isaiah 1:18 says, though our sins are red as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. That's, you see, the blood is the cleansing agent. It purifies the sins from your body, and it makes you white as snow. And that's why the priests on that day would wear the white linen. And that's all they would wear along with the mitre on their head, holy unto God. You see, the sacrificed blood, that is what purges us. That's what cleanses us, and it purges us from the defilements that we live in. You know, when you live in this world like we are today, every day it's a defilement. Every day is a day that you get dirty because there's so much stuff out in the world. Whether you're checking out a grocery line or you're riding down the road, we're impacted and bombarded every single day with the evil that Satan is perpetuating upon the earth. It's just, it's everywhere. It seems like it's more, but I think sin then is just like sin today. There's sin is sin. There's no real difference in it. It just seems like we have more access to it now with computers and tablets and cell phones and televisions. It seems like we have so much more access. Makes it seem like it's larger, but sin hasn't changed. God still hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. See, on Yom Kippur, there is a purification and removal of our transgressions, our sins, and our iniquities are all moved away. You see, God provides two atonements. Nations who turn to Yeshua will receive forgiveness and cleansing. And God has an atonement also for Israel, for his promised land, for his people, that they would turn to Yeshua, their Messiah. I was looking at Satan's name in the Gematria, and I realized that his Gematria number is 364, which is unusual, being we have 365 days in a year, and leap year there's an extra day on the Gregorian calendar. But you know, I'm often wondering if on Yom Kippur, if God is telling us Satan is one day short, and on that day he cannot accuse you on that day. I'm not sure about that, but I just think there's some connection between his number of 364, God saying something about, you know, on that day, he's the judge and jury, and Satan cannot afflict you or offend you on that day because God is judging you on that day. That's his judgment day. Now, that's not in the scripture. That's just something I dug up. I may have to dig more into it, but it's odd that his number is 364, and we have 365 days in the year. Because, you know, it's sort of, I guess when I look at Yom Kippur, I see that, you know, it's sort of a picture of Satan being bound, which on that day is coming that he will be bound, and he will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. So maybe I think Yom Kippur is also a shadow of Satan being bound, not only for the 1,000 years, but for all eternity. He will be cast into the pits of hell. On that day he will be bound and cast away from us, never to return. God will destroy him on that day. You see, I think when we didn't open the Torah, the ark, but it's actually the opening of the gates of heaven, of the book, when you see the Torah open. And then, of course, the Neilah service would be the closing, and we close, you know, with next year we'll be in Jerusalem. That's the goal, to observe in Jerusalem, because that's where the three foot pilgrimages were supposed to be held. Were held in Jerusalem on that day. I wrote down just some things that Yom Kippur, I think, symbolizes. It symbolizes the new covenant, which is from Matthew chapter 26, the new covenant we have of redemption through the blood of the Lamb. It symbolizes eternal life. Once you are accepted, and once you accept Yeshua, then you are promised, and your name is written in the book of life, that you will have eternal life. That's in John chapter 6. Yom Kippur tells us about redemption, that our sins are removed and our transgressions. That's from the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, tells us about the redemption. It's an atonement from Romans chapter 3. That's the covering. When they did it in biblical times, it just covered the sin. It's like covering the cups of the juice this morning. When you take the covering off, the juice is still there. But when you cover it, you don't see the juice or the bread. And that's the atonement. What the shadows of the sacrifices were just a covering, a temporary covering for that which was to come. Because the next day, if you sin, then you had another year. You had to wait until Yom Kippur the following year to get your to have your sins purged again from you. So it's quite a picture of the what atonement really means. It justifies us before God. Our sins have to be removed and purged from us before we can appear in the presence of God to worship Him. That's in Romans 5. Ephesians 2 tells us that God is a God that gives us forgiveness. He will forgive us of our sins and our transgressions. No matter how far you stray from God, you can always go back. You never get too far away that you can't find your way back. God in Colossians tells us that He provides a reconciliation process, and He did that with the most precious thing He had, which was His Son. That was His method of reconciliation. He provides us cleaning from 1 John 1:7 because the blood cleanses us from all unholiness and from our transgressions. Revelation 12 tells us that Yom Kippur provides us a way to be an overcomer. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. That's in Acts 20. The scripture says we are purchased with the blood of the Lamb. But how today do we repair our relationship with God? How do you, if you're away from God, how do you prepare your that relationship with God and come back to Him? The first way is repentance, is to repent of the things you've done. And the second way would be to pray unto God. And the third way to repair that relationship to be charity. That is a mitzvah. We are called to offer charity to help those that are in need. That's something that God has placed. If you read all of those mitzvahs that's in the Bible, they will shock you about some of the things that's in there about how to operate a business, and also about charity, helping those that are truly in need. I'm talking about people that are truly have a need in their life that you can assist them by some form of charity. You see, repentance, God had the method of repentance created long before He ever created heaven and the earth, because it says Yeshua was slain before the foundations of the very world were formed. And so He had a plan in place because He knew we are sinners by nature. That is our nature. Our carnality is that we are sinners. It's something that we do, and some people maybe do it more better than others, but it's our nature. We are sinners just because that's the way that's our makeup. We are sinners, and we have to repent. Isaiah 55 says, we may abandon our wicked ways and thoughts and return to God. He will show mercy, and our God is abundantly forgiving. He does not mind. He wants to forgive us. He wants us to remove the sins that are purging in our life. He wants to purge them from us. And that's the great things, I think, that I put together. Actually, I redid it this morning about Yom Kippur. It is the holiest day of the year, and I think that's why it is the holiest day. It's the day that we actually are reconciled back to God. And it's through the blood. That's the covering that keeps you from going to hell, is the blood of the Lamb. That's just like in Egypt on the first Passover. It was the blood that spared the Israelites, and those that followed them, that joined up with the Israelites, that went into their homes or put blood on their doors, God did not slay the firstborn. And that was an exact picture of Yeshua, the blood in Judgment Day. You won't be cast into hell. God passed over the Israelites and those that had joined with the Jewish people. Just like today, people are joining with the Jewish people in Messianic synagogues, and they will be pardoned on that day. And remember, the people of Nineveh, God said the people of Nineveh who were saved in the book of Jonah will stand in judgment with God. They're going to be there. That's going to be awesome to see how many people they were, because the whole town was saved just by the words of Jonah. He preached just a few words. I think it was eight, somewhere like that. He preached eight words in the whole town. And it wasn't like 10 or 15 people. We're talking thousands of people. They were all saved. They repented. They did burnt offerings. They did sacrifices. And they worshiped God. That's amazing that a whole town would be converted to God at the words of Jonah. But that's what happened. And God says, they will stand with me, or they will be with me in judgment. It's in the scriptures. They will be to see, to show this is what God's word did for us. And just a few words on Sukkot. I know the rabbi's going to minister on that tomorrow, so I'm not going to get very far into it. Just a little bit of it. Of course, you can read about Sukkot in Leviticus. It's got quite a bit about it. And also Exodus chapter 33 has a lot. You know, Sukkot is the end of the foot pilgrimages or the feasts, and it's called the indwelling. We dwell in temporary huts, and I think God is telling us that's the way our lives are. They're temporary. We're not made to be here forever. We're made to be here temporarily. So I think the sukkah is what it's called. I think that tells us about the temporalness of our lives, that we're not here for a long. Some people live to be hundreds of years old, but God has not given us to be here forever. We'll not live here forever. It tells us about the Jewish people in the wilderness, how they wandered and how they were homeless, basically trying to get back to the promised land. They were basically homeless, trying to get back to God's country, to God's place of Cana, the land of Israel, the land of milk and honey. But they had to wander. God had to develop them to take possession of his promised land to them. And so they lived in temporary huts where they could move when God says move, and when they could stay in them for several days. They didn't move every day. A lot of people think they moved every day, but they did not move every day. Some places they stayed for years. But it's existence. It's telling us temporariness. You see, the sukkah, if you build one, and we've got one going on here, it's like your little piece of Holy of Holies, really, because it's just a little confined spot, just like the Holies of Holies. I think it was about 100 square feet, somewhere around there. It wasn't very big. The poles that carried the Ark of the Covenant usually would stick out the end of that structure. They would stick out because it wasn't long, big enough. But I read a lot of things. They said, well, they didn't really stick out. Actually, God made them fit inside there. But it can be your little Holy of Holies. It tells us, the sukkah tells us, and the Feast of Sukkot tells us how much we need dependence upon God for protection and for divine providence. You see, God protected the Israelites as they wandered with the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Now, the pillar of fire kept enemies away. They wouldn't mess with the Israelites because they would see this fire over top of where they were at. In the daytime, God kept the cloud over them to protect them from the sun and the heat that they were in the desert. They were in the wilderness. And water was a prime thing that they had to have, because you can just imagine how much water it took for all of those people to drink, not to mention the animals that they had. So it wasn't like just a little bitty pond. It took an ocean of water to feed them and for them to be able to survive, the animals. But if you look at Sukkot, it tells us and looks a lot like Thanksgiving. It's a time of Thanksgiving. It's a time when at the end of the growing season, when things are harvested, just like Thanksgiving, things are harvested. And they have, of course, Thanksgiving is a day that should be every day. We need to thank God every day for his many blessings to us, an extension of life, because we are really unworthy for our sins that we have committed. Even though they're forgiven, we still bear an unworthiness to be in the presence of God. And if you know anything about the species, there's seven of them. There's wheat, barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, and dates. And then, of course, there's the honey that comes from the dates. That's very sweet. That's why Israel's called the land of milk and honey. It produces more honey than any other nation. But that are the seven species that they would bring before the Lord as far as offerings. You see, Sukkot represents our sins are forgiven. We've come through Yom Kippur, which is a time of reflecting and looking at our lives, preparing for a new year, looking forward to God and things that He's going to do for us this year. And so our sins are forgiven. They're behind us as we get to Sukkot. And it also tells us about the miraculous provision and care that God is giving to us, whether we realize it or not. And I just want to close with this morning, but you know, Sukkot is also a holy convocation. It's a day that, or a time that no work was to be done. And just to close, Revelation 21 verse 3 tells us, God says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them." That's what the Sukkah is about. It's about the time that God will come and dwell forever with His people, and He will never leave. We will never leave Him. That's what the Sukkah represents. It's that time that God will come and dwell among us, just like He did in the tabernacle and in the temple. So that concludes my message this morning. And yeah, Rabbi, you have anything you want to say?
You want to bless your congregation? You want to do that? Okay.
He's going to, if y'all rise, He'll give us the blessing. I think he needs to go home and him and Don get a little bit of rest.
That's you. You know, again, it's a pleasure to be here. I didn't know we'd get here early enough to come. So welcome, everybody. I have folks visiting. And happy birthday, Miss Carolyn. It's your birthday, isn't it? Praise the Lord. I knew. Is Billy's birthday too? Well, that's okay. Happy birthday, Billy. Yes, Tom.
Everything going, especially on Yom Kippur. Thank you, everyone, for all your hard work and making sure that the services went on as usual. God blessed us, though, and we bring greetings from the congregation in Jacksonville. We were able to attend Yom Kippur services there with Rabbi David and Sandy Levine. And it was just a beautiful service, and we were able to get ourselves a nap and then go on down to the synagogue, and it was just really a blessing to be with our mishpacha, our family there. And so they send their blessing to us, and so we thank you for keeping the fire going here, and we look forward to a great Sukkot, and so we'll be able to meet and greet with you during the Oneg. We have an Oneg, right? Okay, so and tomorrow we're doing 6:30 service, and then are we set up for a campfire and hamburgers and hot dogs, is that right? Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk more about it at the Oneg.
And Wendell's famous possum burgers. See if you can tell the difference. I'm not sure if it's kosher, but we'll figure that one out. We'll put Anthony on that one overnight. But anyway, all right. Well, I'm going to give you the Lord's blessing, and it's great to be here on the Lord's Sabbath. Hallelujah. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, and the Prince of Peace, Shabbat shalom. Greet one another, and God bless you. There's lunch. Oneg lunch is going to be served next door. Everybody's invited to stay. And please come back tomorrow night for service at 6:30, and we'll have a campfire and a cookout. We'll have a good time. We'll have some worship and dance. Shabbat shalom.
Zman simchatenu. This is the time of our rejoicing.